Welcome to the Presentation Podcast, episode 18. Join us from inside the design studios for conversations about presentation design, strategies, tips and tricks, running a design studio, and more, all for presentation designers, managers, and presenters. Here are your hosts, Troy Collar, Nolan Haynes, and Sandra Johnson.
For this episode of the Presentation Podcast, myself, Nolan, and Sandy, we're at Microsoft's main campus for the 2016 Microsoft MVP Conference. We recorded this a group conversation with a number of the Microsoft PowerPoint MVPs and a few of the Microsoft team joining us. As you will quickly hear, we convened in a full restaurant outside one of the Microsoft MVP conference events. This was very much an unscripted conversation among our group of 10, and I am certain everyone will find many great tips, suggestions, and just general information throughout. Enjoy.
And now, the most on-the-nose named podcast for presenting, the Presentations Podcast, with your host, Troy Collar.
So we've successfully gathered or wrangled somehow all of us at a round table, herded all of us to a round table with Rick Breschneider providing this incredible portable recording device that I will soon be acquiring, I'm sure. And we have, let's have everybody introduce themselves and the number of years as an MVP. So let's start over here.
Glenna Shaw, 14.
Nolan Hames, 3, I believe.
Sandy Johnson, 8.
Julie Terberg, 11.
Troy Collar, 12.
Echo Swinford, 16.
Rick Breschneider, 6, but I had some time before that.
Okay, this would be good. How about a one-sentence description of what your expertise is?
Like, to be able to put it in one sentence? Because I think we should point out that the whole MVP program, everybody kind of brings to the table something different, right? I mean, that's actually the point, that it's like everybody comes to it with different skills and focuses. And Glenna, why don't you go first?
My specialty is in accessibility, and then the interoperability of the other Office products with PowerPoint.
Fantastic.
This is Nolan. So I guess my expertise is in design and data visualization. I'll throw that in there.
And this is Sandy, and I think I specialize in storytelling.
This is Julie Terberg, and I specialize in large corporate template design and builds, and also graphic design for presentations.
So I know I asked the question. I've been really thinking hard how to answer this. I think my most public-facing or well-known is for taking presentations to the large screen for large corporate shows. We do lots and lots, but that's probably the key focus everybody identifies.
This is Echo Swinford, and like everybody here, I do pretty much everything with PowerPoint, but I build templates better than anybody else in the world.
I would agree with that.
True.
Okay, Steve, what do you focus
Steve
on?
Steve Rinsberg, I focus on Visual Basic and PowerPoint. And printing.
Yes, we have a so far unintroduced guest.
Because you actually have a great expertise level. You should have a good line on this.
I'm Stephanie Horn. I'm a program manager on the Office graphics team. And I think my specialty is sort of everything graphics.
And she knows lots of stuff we cannot talk about right now.
Exactly.
She holds four PowerPoint patents, or some are pending?
Well, Visio. First one was because I was with Visio first. So my first patent would be with a Visio patent.
I was sort of the Visio MVP.
Were you?
Long ago.
I still keep in touch with all those Visio MVPs.
I'm going to give you I've never told anybody this. My presentation software experience started in 87, which if you're careful, you know that's before PowerPoint. Because I was working at a company called Ashton Tate, and they were working on a window. They were working with a DOS presentation package, and I was brought on to help with the graphics user interface for a Windows version they were going to do. And I hadn't realized that until about 2 years ago. But then, of course, I went on to that Microsoft company, and I joined the PowerPoint team in 93. And then, so I know where all the bodies are buried. That's my expertise.
That was the building that had all the awesome artwork in it, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was the Quadras facility on Sand Hill Road, which the Andersons owned so much art that they couldn't keep it in museums and stuff. So we actually had American artwork. I had a Lichtenstein painting outside my office door. I walked by every morning.
Okay, here's a topic for discussion. Now, remember, we're at the Microsoft Summit, but we have to make this a non-disclosure conversation. So we can't talk about things we know to not be public.
Well, okay, before we dive into that, Troy, do you want to explain what the MVP Summit is?
We should do that.
You should explain what MVPs are as well.
Microsoft Most Valuable Professionals. It is going to be a link in the show notes to explain all of the details. So Microsoft puts on an annual conference. They invite all their MVPs from across the globe to gather at the Redmond campus up in Washington. And
it's like thousands overall. Like how
1,900 here today.
1,900 today.
And probably double just in
4,000 yeah, around double.
And 4,000 across the globe is pretty darn phenomenal. But to make it even more impressive for us talking, out of PowerPoint, there are 35 in the entire globe. And at this summit, we have the universe. And at this summit, we have, is there 10 of us here or 11?
I think there are 10 this year. Gitesh had done a count of 10.
Okay. Did he count Sham, who came for the our?
I don't think he did. So 11.
So we have 11 here today out of 35 total, and 15 now in North America, correct? I believe that would be the correct stat.
I don't know.
I'm adding Mike Parkinson. So there is not a huge team on this, and we get to interact very closely with the Microsoft PowerPoint development team, of which we feel very fortunate, and there are lots of good things we wish we could share.
You know, I realized something about that the other day. Now, California, I don't know if I want to do this by state, but California has 3 MVPs for PowerPoint in it.
Four?
Okay, 4. So,
oh.
No, I can't. Nancy, Troy, me, and Sham. Right, 4. Right. So how many are in other states? So how many?
There's only one per any other state,
okay.
I believe.
No, oh, Tony's not anymore.
Yeah,
so.
We're all yeah. in,
we're
I think
all
we're
separate
all in
states.
Separate states.
So.
Steve and
Tony is not.
Steve,
oh, he's not anymore. Yeah, because I same thing.
We're well distributed around the country, and
well, and we have a couple in Canada too. So we're considering that when we're.
Okay, topic for discussion. Again, bearing in mind that we have to keep to public conversation, I think we could all, if we were talking previously, and we kind of made this statement that PowerPoint as a program has changed and evolved more in the past 18 months. Very largely due to changes at Microsoft, including release cadence.
The subscription model.
Subscription model, yes. Other reasons?
New tools.
The advanced release schedule that you can opt into.
The insider versus...
Insider fast release.
Insider releases, fast and slow releases.
So... Can everybody give an example of something they have seen evolve, either brand new that they did not think would happen, or something that has happened that they thought would take much longer? Like, my list goes back 8+ years of things I've been waiting for, and some of those have been accomplished. So anything you think that's happened or seen happen that's amazing?
Tabbing! Tabbing in the size box!
Okay, that's almost the newest, because that just happened, what?
You were such a nerd.
3 weeks? Two weeks ago?
Like 2 weeks ago, I discovered it like 3 days ago.
Tell us what it is really quick.
So, on the size group in the Drawing Tools Format tab, you usually have to click and type in the height box, and then you have to take your mouse and click in the width box and do it all manually, which really sucks. So now you can just type in the height box and hit tab, and you go to the width box. It's such a time saver! I'm so psyched! I'm excited.
I think the most fun thing to watch happen was Rick's jealousy at how quickly changes happen. You could just, oh my God, when I worked here, we waited 3 years to do this.
You're not far off.
I know.
It's really something to be envious of, because you know, it was 3 years between releases. But I would have to say the one for me is Morph, because I used to use animation software that had Morph in it, and for years and years we would talk about what we had to do to get PowerPoint to do that, and to have them just do that, you know, after a couple of months from the prior release is just astounding to me, and such a simple and straightforward way to do it too.
Oh, for me, I think the biggest change was the mindset from instead of where it went to creating the most effective presentations. So that's where they came out with the designer and the morph, the things so that the software does it for you, as opposed to them adding more features that allow you to do nitpicky things. It literally is the software does more to create effective presentations for someone using it. I think that's huge, and I think that's what drove all these amazing changes in the last 18 months.
And I'll sort of echo that a little bit. I think what Microsoft is doing now is not just improving the technical side of it and just giving more features for the sake of features, but actually stepping back and trying to improve the product to help users make better presentations and make better communications. So they're actually looking at that and saying, okay, what features will help people make better, you know, communicate better, make better presentations, you know, whatever that means, be it animation or more for Zoom or other stuff we, again, can't talk about today, but that, you know, that will be coming. I think that they're finally realizing good design, good content creation, good structure, and all, and good communication, which is awesome to see.
You should definitely add to that the fact that they are constantly reviewing the information coming from users on the user voice website, which everyone should go to whenever they want something in PowerPoint and want something to change in PowerPoint, to vote up or down or enter new ideas.
What was that URL again, Rick?
Is it powerpoint.uservoice.com? I'm just making that up.
We'll include that in the show notes, but it is the most powerful tool we have right now for communicating with the Microsoft
or
PowerPoint team.
Or is it uservoice.powerpoint.com?
No, it's a subdomain is PowerPoint, then uservoice, and then .com.
But it's all that feedback. They're gathering analytics now that actually is helping them make better decisions. Now they're getting the measures.
Anonymous analytics, you but know. Very well and targeted.
They're listening. And I, like any large company, especially large software companies, you think, well, they're not listening. And, you know, they don't care about the user. But that's a huge change in the last few years. They literally are listening through all these sorts of things, through analytics, through data.
I think they've always listened. I think they always haven't been able to do anything about it. And now they can.
They can. And
it makes
and
a huge
difference.
I think
the cadence with which they introduce, everybody said something that I agree with, but the cadence at which they introduce the new features is awesome. I think once a month? I mean,
well, the cadence is a term they've used to represent the speed at which they release features, and cadence comes from a military marching pace and stuff. But what they've done is they've dropped the old style of development methodology, and they've gone to an agile method, which when I left Microsoft, I went to a company that was using Agile, and I was always thinking, how would I have done this at Microsoft? How would I have gotten them to do it? And they've done a wonderful job of adopting it.
So 5-6 years ago, it was what, every 3 years?
Yeah.
And then it became every
18
months?
3 years was the goal.
Right.
And it was often after
now
that.
Now it's literally every 30 days.
But you guys, no one's mentioned, hello, PowerPoint everywhere. Same experience.
Oh yeah.
We are getting so much parity on all the different platforms that I'm able to tell my clients that if we create these files on a Mac or on a PC or on, they can look at it on their phone and it's going to look the same. It's going to behave
iPad.
The same on their iPad. This is the first time ever that we're able to create presentations that look the same and behave the same on all of these different platforms.
And everything we're talking about, this is not just PowerPoint, this is Microsoft's overarching corporate direction, right, that they've taken under their new CEO, right?
And to clarify Julie's statement there, it's PowerPoint everywhere using the Microsoft PowerPoint app. Because if you're on your iPhone, that's not the default viewer. And it looks very different than when you click, hold, and say open with PowerPoint, Microsoft PowerPoint.
Right.
And then you get a much different visual and user experience. It's very impressive. So I'm going to go with the thing that hasn't completely come to fruition, but it's a huge mindset shift, and that is that animation is taking a front seat again, but not in the form of animation. It's being diverted into the transition phasing between slides. So Morph, Zoom, some incredible combinations of it that we've seen just today. And it's animation, but it's not falling under the animation
pain.
Oh,
anyone
it's phenomenal.
Can do Morph.
And it changes the mindset, though, because slide count has to change. You can easily bump your slide count up but not increase your talk time. So there's going to be a shift.
So there's going to be a mental shift there, yeah.
I have been waiting for years of asking.
The fact that we can demo to our clients how to use Morph, because it is really easy to do.
Yes, it's phenomenal.
It takes that temptation away to add in those superfluous animations that have no meaning whatsoever, and it adds fluidity to the presentation.
If done well, it can be done in it can be done not so elegantly. So
okay, but I have to add, Morph, as wonderful as it is, not available to everyone.
We'll talk about that in a moment. That'll
That's
be like
your
our
own
next
fault.
Question is the PowerPoint Everywhere scenario doesn't totally.
It's only available
to
the
bold,
to those who have a view
right.
of the future.
That's right.
Who was it? I don't know if it was one of us or one of the Microsoft people that said that it's almost impossible to use Morph extraneously, right? If you're going to use Morph, you're kind of doing it in order to tell a story. So whereas, you know, the wagon wheel, you know, appear, that's superfluous.
It's not a gratuitous animation.
It's not gratuitous. That's the word I was looking
My
for.
My whole talk to start at the presentation summit two weeks ago now was the whole upfront was superfluous animation that we assigned to the design team and said, I need one slide animations. Make something happen from one to the other just as cool. So you can do it. And it came across really well.
So we're talking about the sort of agile development every 30 days. We really should point out something that's a little confusing to people and people probably don't even know about. There are now, on both Mac and PC, three levels of updates, three sort of stages that you can opt into. If you do nothing, you'll get the standard sort of builds. Which
it's actually four.
There are actually four?
Yes. Uh-oh. There's perpetual, in which you don't go forward at all.
Nothing, yeah.
Right. All right, so we'll back up. So if you have sort of the out-of-the-box, you know, Microsoft Office that you've bought and paid, I don't know, $100+ for, you get security updates, but you don't get feature updates. So kind of it is what it is, and that's. But if you're on Office 365, which everyone should be on, it's just everyone hates the subscription thing, but it's where things are going, and it is what it is. If you're on that, you then have three options.
But it changes.
What
it
changes?
Is what it is until it isn't.
It is what it was until it's tomorrow, and then it changes again.
As of today, where are we at?
If you're on Office 365, which you should, because a lot of the things we're talking about are only available on 365. So if you're on that, you have three options. The default is, I don't know what they call it, the slow?
It's slow.
Update?
Slow is...
So you're going to get all these features.
Actually, 365 has a default that does not include the opt-in for advanced releases. So actually, Insider. Insider is on top of standard 365.
So you have your standard upgrade schedule, and then you have a Insider.
Right.
Slow Insider, is that what they call it?
Insider defaults to slow, and then you can choose. No, there's two. There's Insider slow, and there's Insider fast. And Insider fast means it's been tested less.
Right. We become the beta test pool for the application by getting things in advance. And depending on how well that goes, my understanding is that depends on when it goes to the current channel.
And
but I want to clear up one thing about the 365, because it's not just 365. It's also the Office subscription home and office release. So there are two different SKU packages can see in the store.
Way to confuse us more.
Well, hey, I'm trying to explain it, at least. That's better than Microsoft is doing.
So anyway, long story short is these are two... There are two basically additional options out of, you know, the default. If you're in the program, I'm just confusing it more. In the program, in Mac or PC, you can check Insider slow or Insider fast, and that will get you all these features and updates more quickly and a little more beta-ish. So, you know.
I just switched to fast today. Because
did you?
I did. I was on the Insider slow. I was using both of my computers for production pretty evenly.
You had to reinstall to get onto Insider fast.
I did not. All you do is check the button, Insider fast.
Then there must be an Insider super fast that you have to reinstall.
I can clarify that.
Okay.
When you go into your, on the PowerPoint blog, there is, as of last Friday and Monday, there's a two-part series talking about this and how you get it to happen because so many people had the questions. But
what's
it
that
does, it'll be in the show notes, but it's the PowerPoint blog. It does do an install when you change your methodology, when you change
yes,
which one you're
does.
On. Right. But it is actually just updating or upgrading your
right.
current version. You
okay.
lose no
and
data.
And you can continue
right.
to work while
right.
it's doing that.
Yes.
Right.
But no, it actually makes you close them.
But
at a certain point.
It makes you close them to activate the new stuff.
Correct.
But
right.
you can continue working on it until it finishes. Then you
until
have to
you can.
Fantastic.
The quick and dirty aspect of not trying to keep people away from your wonderful blog, which will give them much more assurances than my stumbling words, but you go into File, Account, and that's where you'll find the button that will let you go into Insider Builds and
mm-hmm.
opt into that program.
That's right.
Yeah.
It even gets a little more convoluted in that there's a admin level that has to approve you to make that change. So somebody with admin rights to the Office 365 account has to authorize your account to be able to make that change, which is the part I really got confused on.
So here's a question that maybe Stephanie can answer for us. Depending on which level you're on, do you still get updates every 30 days?
No. No.
She has a confused look on her face.
We should have had Stephanie explain this, maybe.
Yeah, exactly.
Well,
right.
No, it was a good explanation. So the updates come out, in some sense, when they're ready for that audience. So I can't say it's exactly every 30 days, because maybe after 30 days, the build isn't ready. It's not good enough quality, and we're not going to release something that's of a poor quality to any of the audiences. The Fast Insiders can go as fast as once every week.
Wow.
Did not know that.
So they can come out. And
my head is spinning.
Yes. And for some people, that's a good thing. And for some people, that's a bad thing because they don't want it quite that fast. So we're still trying to get the right pace for people because we understand even the people who are on the sort of
cutting, bleeding edge.
On the cutting edge don't want that much disruption.
And that I was just talking to somebody else on the PowerPoint team just about languages, and every time there's a new update, they have to get everything translated in like a couple days, right?
Wow.
I mean, this is a massive effort to push stuff out every week, every 2 weeks, every 3 or 4 weeks, right? I mean,
sometimes Insiders Fast doesn't have everything translated. We have made translation. 5 years ago, translation was an after process in the build process. Now translation happens as we go. When we check in a string, we say whether it's locked or unlocked. And if it's unlocked for translation, it'll happen almost immediately.
And all that said, because of this fast release, there are, especially in the fast, there's going to be some rough times occasionally, right? Some things that maybe get broken occasionally.
Well,
but
fast release, you got to expect things to not
right.
be perfect. The fast,
because you're kind of beta testing.
The insider slow, you know, you're at a pretty stable, but getting advanced use for additional feedback to the Microsoft dev teams. And the current channel is things should work and be documented.
But all that said, I think our experience for the most part has been releases have been pretty solid, like across the board, right? Oh, Steve would like to talk.
Well, I was just a few minutes ago, hours ago, just talking with one of the people who's involved in what they call regression testing. When something goes wrong as a result of one of these releases, this goes into a really top priority fix queue. I need to talk. I need to swallow this microphone. Yeah. So she was saying that basically if anything goes wrong because of one of these releases, that gets fixed immediately, and then it's pushed out. Within a month, the fix comes out.
So let's move on. I'd like to go around the table or whoever, raise of hands. Who would like to give their favorite tip, trick, shortcut, hack on making PowerPoint easier to use?
Oh, hands are up.
Oh, Jules.
Got it. By far, my favorite tool of this entire year is Thor. Thank you, Steve Rinsberg.
Buy him a beer.
Putting the hammer tool on the QAT, and the information will be
really
in.
Yes.
The
wait, this is news to
yes.
me.
Yes,
because I know the hammer tool, but
okay,
you made
so
it on
the
QAT
you,
now.
If you get the hammer pickup tool and the hammer, what's,
the
it, what's it called
set?
When you pick
no,
it up?
Back up. Explain to the people who are not on the in
all
on
right.
this as to what this does.
All right, the hammer tool. What's the? It's called the pickup.
So first of all, to back this up even one step
realize
further,
people are looking at their PowerPoint right now.
This
for the
is
hammer
not
tool.
A native PowerPoint tool. This is an add-in that is from Steve Rinsberg's PP
That's
Tools.
That's why the best feature in PowerPoint is Visual Basic for applications. I can make it do stuff that you can't make it do.
Now I would like to know what the pickup tool is called.
Okay, going. That's Odin. Going way let's not get confused about that. This tool will pick up the current position and size of any shape or the whole slide, and then you can apply that position and size to any shape that you select or any group of shapes that you selected.
So the point is that when you're doing repetitive tasks and you need to pick up the size and position of an object, such as a text box or a shape, you can hammer that into position.
This is a custom tool written by Steve that you have to add to PowerPoint.
And he has added it to the QAT.
So now it's a separate button identifiable in the QAT.
It's an add-in that goes way back, and because of pressure from my dear friends surrounding me here at this table,
yes,
it's
and
been updated.
And our dear friend Taylor Kroonquist at
who gave it the name Thor. Nuts and Bolts Training. Who christened it Thor. It's been updated for PowerPoint 32-bit and 64-bit.
Ooh, wonderful.
And it can go on; it can be customized onto the QAT.
And if you move it all the way up the QAT to the beginning, you can do an Alt-F4, Alt-F5.
You can do
and
that.
And do your whole deck.
Oh, very tricky. That's a user tip.
So it's
keyboard access.
PPTOOLS.com, and it's a free add-in. You can afford it.
Thank you, Steve.
So Julie's tip is not only an add-in tool that is very phenomenal, but positioning it so that you can do keyboard access to it instantly is
great
phenomenal
tip.
Tips. Tips or hacks in using PowerPoint? Anybody?
So one of my favorites is Shift F3 to toggle your case from title case to lowercase to sentence case. It's a good way to select text and go through quickly. And then you can Alt F4 to repeat your way through that once you've done one. My other favorite is if you build a lot of templates or you're in Master View a lot, press Shift and click the normal button down there near the slideshow button, and that will pop you into Master View. It's quick and easy. It was like the hit of Presentation Summit.
I know. I learned that.
It's like the best shortcut ever.
So I'll piggyback on both of you because mine's QAT. Mine is adding superscript and subscript buttons to the QAT because they're very difficult to not be able to. They don't exist in the ribbon, so you can manually add it. And also I add a open slide master on the QAT. I mean, I have lots of buttons on my QAT. They're all same position.
Me too.
Yeah, but the keyboard command is very cool, like really, really ultra cool.
Quick explanation of how do you customize things onto the QAT?
Okay, the quick access toolbar. It comes with every version of PowerPoint. You usually find four or five icons,
save,
upper left-hand
undo.
Corner.
There's a couple of features on there.
What the QAT does, it allows you to add your most frequently used shortcuts to the quick access toolbar.
Yeah, it's still a little limited on the Mac. They're continuing to add functions.
Okay, I've got my favorite productivity tip, which is go into File Options and turn on the black view for the UI. It will make PowerPoint feel shiny and new, and your eye fatigue will go down. You will get fewer headaches. You will fight with your spouse less. You will have a lovely life once you turn PowerPoint into this wonderful ebony experience.
Which is true black as opposed to
it
what
is true
was
black
proposed
instead
as fake black.
Like dark
but
gray.
I like the fake black because when you change it, it changes across Office, does
yes.
it not?
Yeah.
Yes.
So Outlook
I
is weird
I can't
black.
Look at Outlook with a black background.
It makes
so
her write angry emails.
To the fake black. Yeah.
Angry
I feel
emails.
For you.
Angry
I feel
emails.
For you.
I actually did a video snack on that for Presentation Guild. So if you're not a member, join, then you can see my video snack.
But what is Presentation Guild, Echo?
Presentation Guild is a trade association for presentation professionals and non-professionals, for all you presentation geeks out there. We're going to change the world.
Who is a member of the Presentation Guild?
All of us.
All of us.
And
where do we find
that was
the Presentation Guild's
the
website?
It'll be in the notes.
Yes, we will definitely put a link there because it
is. PresentationGuild.org.
Fantastic.
mine is leaving the format pane open, because you can cycle through all the elements on the slide and the format pane always is right there ready for you, as opposed to popping up a dialog box like it used to, especially for chart elements. It makes it really easy to format all the different chart elements.
Stephanie, on a technical side, what do we call that where a pane is available and we can see changes happen and we don't have to close the dialog?
Non-modal.
Not to put you on the spot.
Non-modal? Is that what you're looking for? Non-modal?
Can you give us a definition of modal?
Modal? Well, there's the one which a dialog will pop up or something blocking will pop up, and you can't do anything but act on the dialog. Make a decision and click OK, and then it's gone.
Well, modal also, none of your changes happen until you click OK, so you can't check and see if that's
live
actually what you want.
Live preview is not available, yes.
Right.
They took it away. It used to have, like the...
They used
the
to have
paragraph
preview.
Dialog box used to have a preview button.
Yes.
And it's been gone since 2007.
Okay, Julie, another
All
idea?
Right, this is a really good productivity tip. When you're editing a whole deck and you need to either pick up the style of an object and apply it many slides later, or you have a graphic that you want to copy-paste many slides later, open your clipboard and drag it somewhere else on your slide. Leave the clipboard pane open. Then you go 20 slides later and you have that gradated arrow that you needed from slide 3. And you have the rounded, you know, rectangle in blue that you needed from slide 2. As long as the clipboard pane is open, all the most recently copied objects will be on the clipboard pane ready for you to copy and paste.
That's awesome.
How many?
I know, I never do it. She always tells me to.
Has all Adobe Illustrator users, have you seen the new, it's like basically a clipboard gallery that now opens up automatically? It's kind of been there for a while, but now it's kind of forced upon us and everybody thinks it's new. It would be a great action pane element in many Office applications. And a lot of add-ins add that functionality. They kind of capture basically a clipboard in the action pane, is a couple of my demoed.
Well, Mac has that pretty much, right?
The multi-clipboard. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it does.
But I'll give you my Mac tip. And I don't believe this is available on a PC. So this is a Mac OS thing. You can go into the Mac OS preferences and set keyboard shortcuts across the whole system or for individual programs. So what I do on PowerPoint is I go into that. So it's a system level thing. So I go and I say, in PowerPoint, I want these key commands to be align right, align left, align top, align bottom.
Nice.
So for
Jealous.
Me, it's command, shift, arrow right,
yeah.
arrow top, arrow left, arrow bottom.
That's nice.
And those are the tools I use all the time. So I have to use my QAT to align top, to align right.
Very nice.
Yeah. And I have a couple of other ones, but those are the
nice.
Ones I use all the time.
Yeah.
That's
really
cool.
Jealous.
Troy is speechless.
I know.
Yeah.
Jealous.
And like across my whole system, F5 is export or save as for all different types of programs. Illustrator, PowerPoint, Keynote, all sorts of stuff. That's always F5.
Office used to let you do that.
Does that work all the way through all the Office products? Because I'm constantly aligning things in Word and Excel.
I think you'd have to do it application by application, but it's very easy to do in your system.
I give you my favorite hack. It's a little vindictive, but in 2007, I think it was 2007, the animation UI got totally screwed up.
Oh yeah.
Because you had this great huge gallery of animation effects, and you choose one, and it would apply to the current selected object. Now, if you wanted, so let's say it was an appear, and then you want to do a fly in as it appeared. And so you choose fly in, and that would eliminate the appear and just do the fly in. But you to do the additional ones, you had to go to this tiny little menu to the right of that for everything that you want to do successively. And what I found was the one on the right, the tiny little one, would do the first one as well. So if you get rid of that huge gallery and only use, which you can go into the customized toolbar command, you get rid of the gallery, the huge gallery, leave the little one there, and you can do all the additive ones, and then if you want to delete one, you go to the animation pane and actually select it and delete it, and you'll never lose your animations because you were adding another one on top of it.
Rick, you have a tutorial, a wonderful tutorial.
I do. It's a video tutorial, I think, on rickbrett.com.
Remind me to get that, and we'll include that in the show notes because it's very good. So mine along those lines is...
Remind me to add that to video snacks.
Oh, sure.
Oh,
yeah.
Yes.
I was thinking that too. Presentationguild.org, folks. Presentationguild.org.
mine along those lines is I add on to the QAT the more entrance animations, more exit animations, and more emphasis animations.
On
the
QAT.
So
there's three buttons. I can open it. Opens up the pane, and I can select which one I want without the mold drop down.
Such a good idea. I ran into such a problem with that.
Hi, Joel.
Hey, it's Joe Camp at the table. Just say, I'm Joe Camp. I'm the most important thing in the MVP organization. Just say it. Right in the mic.
It's all good. Right, I'm Joe Camp, and the PowerPoint MVPs are the most important people in the MVP program.
Aww. And I approve of that message.
It's good to see you.
Good, Joe.
Thanks for stopping by.
That was Joe Camp, who is the most important person in the MVP organization.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
So, Troy, you said on the QAT you add more animations and what else?
Add more animations, add more exit animations, and add more emphasis animations.
Which are the additive versions, not the ones that are replacing anything
existing.
Yeah,
so they bring up the dialogue, and they don't ruin anything else in the current animation.
Well, it's more. Those are going on my QAT when I get back to my room.
I found a bug. Glenysis. That's so funny.
So we need another topic.
Can we talk about where we think Microsoft is going without, I mean, again, speculating stuff we...
You can talk about things like maybe why you're optimistic about PowerPoint.
Could we talk about the announcement last week of 3D coming to PowerPoint?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
That's a great...
I mean,
that's a reason why you're optimistic.
Creator's update for Windows 10.
So last week, it'll be 2 weeks. So 2 weeks ago, Microsoft announced several new things at their product event, because it covered hardware, software. But one of the more exciting ones, for everybody at this table at least, was the introduction of the operating system and the applications handling true 3D modeled elements. I'm still waiting for details on file format structures being supported, but based on public demos that are out there, it is a very phenomenal and will be a very robust feature that will add to not only capabilities of presentations in presentation design, but also another element within animation and creating motion and interest on screens. So, what is everybody else's take on this new unveiling of technology that's coming our way very soon?
Here's what I like about the 3D announcement that came out a couple of weeks ago. It fits right in to all of the AR, augmented reality, and virtual reality strides that are being made out there. I'm in particular excited about how it might work potentially. I have no idea how, but with the HoloLens product. Of course, we're all aware of Oculus Rift and all the virtual reality things, but that's what I'm excited about and where that might be in 5 years. For example.
And just to pile onto there, I mean, even without getting into Oculus Rift and 3D and augmented reality and stuff, just the idea that you have a strong three-dimensional engine in PowerPoint simulation ability within the product, that application that companies need to show their products off.
The way that I see it being implemented immediately is in the medical industry. Because you already have a lot of 3D medical illustrations. And when you pair that with the amount of medical presentations that are being created all of the time, that's an immediate application of the 3D.
And schools. When I think you posted that thing that I liked it, my daughter actually linked on it. And my daughter, who could care less about PowerPoint, all of a sudden got excited about PowerPoint.
What
and
was
my
it?
Grandson.
It was
the 3D.
The three-dimensional tree that they showed during the developer event. It was the fig tree that turned in three dimensions.
When I talked to her, she said, oh, that thing that your friend Julie posted, that was so cool. And she could care less about PowerPoint. And all of a sudden, now she wants to know.
Yeah, my only concern is that they implement it as a full object in PowerPoint, where it will appear in the 3D order, and then you put things on top of it and flyovers. And it's not like the old style videos where it had to be on top.
According to the demo, it is an object in PowerPoint.
Yeah,
and you can scale it just like you would an image. It has the handles to scale it.
Right, I want things to be able to fly over it and under it. Have it go through a window kind of thing, you know.
I think you can marry those together. I think you can marry the three-dimensional objects together also.
Good.
So, yes, I think the Z order is respected.
Good.
According to the demo. Now, we haven't seen how
much smoke and mirrors is in any given demo, but I think Microsoft's been pretty good about showing running code for the most part.
I'm looking forward to having presentations be like an immersive experience, as opposed to just a viewed experience.
I'll sort of echo that a little bit. I'm looking forward to presentations being less slide, 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 and more, as you said, immersive, more, you don't even know where one slide ends and one begins, and that's morph, that's zoom, that's 3D.
That's good design.
Asking your audience, where do you want to go?
Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know?
Less linear.
So that's exactly what you mentioned earlier. Microsoft is elevating the concept of PowerPoint to helping you be a better presenter.
To a better communication tool.
A better communication tool.
I think it's a number of reasons. One, there's a lot of innovation going on. You talked about 3D. That's something that's very exciting for my team working on 3D. Heather, who was the PM that talked about it at the Windows Devices Day, talked about it being as easy as working with a picture, I think is one of the quotes she said. So taking something really complicated, like a 3D model, and allowing people to rotate it, resize it, do all the things that you saw happen with the fig tree. I also think, and a lot of people touched on this earlier, is just the speed in which we can get things out. So there's an example where I'm working on something, we put it out to insiders, one of the insiders' audiences, within a day or two, someone found an issue within it. Within 24 hours that morning, both my team and there's another team that's sort of a hot zone team found the issue. It popped up in our the tools we have internally to detect things of that nature. We were able to fix it within a day or two, test it,
wait,
and get it out.
There's yet another insider audience?
No, I couldn't remember if it was fast or slow. It might have been the slow. One of the two. They both are very useful. No, it wasn't.
I have a question, and you may have to edit this out. No, I mean, you may have to.
Because you're going
to
swear?
SVG was part of the blog announcement that happened on the Wednesday 2 weeks ago.
So when we were talking about favorite features and new things, that's a huge thing.
I used it all.
Stephanie.
Yeah. Stephanie's team did that. That's awesome.
Echo, why don't you explain it from the beginning? What can you do now?
So instead of being limited, so we have vector graphics, which we're pretty much limited to EMFs and WMFs right now, and they work best in Windows, not necessarily on the Mac side. Well, SVG is a more cross-platform compatible vector format, and we've all been clamoring to use it. It means I can grab icons from the Noun Project and other vector graphics from Illustrator, etc., and just use them directly in PowerPoint without having to convert them, etc. So I'm really excited because it opens up so many more graphic possibilities. So it's cool.
When that was announced, I actually subscribed to the Noun Project. Up until that time, I'd been one at a time, $2.99, because SVGs
exactly
had to be converted, right?
Right.
And now it's really great. It
so
really
easy
is, Stephanie.
It's so
thank
easy.
You.
So thank you. That's
thank
the first
you.
Like additional way to import, yeah, that we've gotten.
So we're clapping because Stephanie's team was responsible for that.
Yes. That's awesome.
So if you've used a legacy EMF or WMF technology file formats from the, we'll just be kind of
say, suffering through the use of,
and they're very limited in their scope and what they can do, like gradient fields, SVGs are true vector formats that can handle anything, and now PowerPoint supports them. If you're on the Insider build currently, coming to the standard Office 365 build soon.
What does SVG stand for?
Scalar Vector Graphics.
Okay.
Scalar.
Now I know.
Scalable. I like scalar. It sounds like a really rough
scalable
dude.
Scalable vector graphics, yes.
Scalar's vector graphics. Don't mess with scalar.
So we've made it through day one of the MVP Summit here at Microsoft in Redmond, Washington, and we've got a couple more exciting days to go. So I thank everybody for joining us at our roundtable event that Rick has so graciously
participated. Note that we won't be able to tell them anything about what we're talking about because it's all under NDA.
Yes, and there'll be no more forthcoming information because of the NDA that we have all agreed to and signed as part of our being here.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Thanks, everybody.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you.
For episode show notes, links, and more from this episode, visit us at our website, www.thepresentationpodcast.com. The Presentation Podcast is produced by TLC Creative Services, Inc. You can contact us with episode suggestions, questions for our hosts, or comments through our website. Subscribe at the iTunes Store or at our website for additional options. If you like the podcast, rate us on iTunes. Stars and reviews are greatly appreciated. Look for new episodes the first and third Tuesday of each month.